Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
You may be seated. It is good to be here this evening. I've never spoke at a basilica before. I've been to one or three. I've been to three, but never spoke before. But one of the great things that I love about this season is as we go through this Christmas season, we have an opportunity to worship God. I think about the story when the three wise men or women, whatever they were, came to Jesus and they brought gifts. Well, you know, they probably were men because I don't know many women who would bring gold, frankincense, or myrrh. Might bring a diaper. But as they came, they brought what they had and they knelt down and they worshiped God. They worshiped Jesus just for who he was, for this promise that was foretold that came true right before their very eyes. And there's this little song that I come to love. It says that God is indescribable. He who created the earth and everything that is within it. He who thought enough of us to give us a name while we were yet in our mother's womb and yet brought us forth. What an indescribable God. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the song that it sings. We're all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. You're all powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. Every lightning bolt where it should go. worship the Lord right where you are. I'm going to give you an opportunity to run. Maybe you came to hear a theologian. I'm not him. So if that's what you're here for, you can still run away. But what I am is I'm somebody who knows about the goodness of God. I wish I could say that I had this loving relationship with Jesus and this perfect relationship with God. But the thing is that I struggle day after day. And sometimes I get a little too real with God, some people would say, because I argue with him sometimes, because his ways aren't my ways, and his thoughts aren't my thoughts. But one of the things I was looking at my Bible this morning, when I woke up at 3 o'clock, and I thought there was this wonderful line that came from 2 Timothy. And the line just simply says, I give thanks to God who I serve with a clear conscience. And it says that I remember you day and night in my prayers. I remember your tears, and I want to see you very much so that I may be filled with joy. And I thought, wow, what an interesting line of scripture. I remember your tears, and I want to see you so that I may be filled with joy. As someone who struggled in my own personal walk with God, I've had many tears. I've had many blessings too, but sometimes I needed the tears to bring about my blessing. I would say I had a pretty good life growing up. I honor my mom today. She's here, and I don't know. Oh, she's over here somewhere. There she is. I have great parents. My mother wanted to spend more time with me. We live 3 blocks away, and I see her at church on Sundays. So she joined my choir to spend more time with me, and I know what a terrible way to spend time with your child. And my father, who is unable to be here, he's having open heart surgery next week, but he's always sits in the back of the church wherever I go, and is just kind of there. And I'll hear everything when it's all over, what you did good and what you should have did better. But what I found was through my parents was I learned my first experience of God's love. And when we talk about life and life's ups and downs, we realize that every up that we experience is rooted in God's love. And at every step of the way, we need those experiences of God's love to help us get through the storms of our lives. It was my sophomore year of high school that I think I experienced my first storm. And sometimes when these storms come, they are not always the prettiest storms. Today I can admit that I was in love with this young lady. Her name was Candy. And we met singing, and we formed a choir. And we were singing, and I thought, wow, this girl is amazing. But I never knew that sometimes the amazing blessings in our lives are only temporary blessings. And so while we kept singing and singing, and this relationship had developed with me and my friends, my grandmother passed away, and we had to go to Washington, D.C., for her funeral. And when I had come back, I said, oh, we got to get back. We sing at church. I need to be there on Sunday morning. And so we made it home and got up, and I was getting dressed and ready to go to church, and the phone rings. And it was one of my friends, TJ. He said, I need you to sit down. I said, we got to get to church. We got to move. We got stuff to do today. He said, I need you to sit down. I said, tell me when I get to church. He said, sit down. So I sat down, and he began to tell me that while I was gone at my grandmother's funeral, that Candy had been killed. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to cope, how to deal, how to go on, but I knew I needed to get to church because it was at church where my friends were there. Another experience of God's love. And even though I didn't know how to deal with my own personal feelings of what was going on the inside, there was something about being connected to that community. People always ask me as I travel around the country and doing youth revivals and talks, what's the importance of going to church? And I always tell them, what's the importance of your family? It's not that everybody in church is perfect. We might seem like it, coming to church looking nice, hair all done up, sometimes those ladies with the big old hats. But all these things are just things that we cover up. Sometimes cover up who we are, the pain that we feel. But the reason why we come is that when two broken things come together and we get on one accord, healing begins to take place. So I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're going through today. But I myself, I, John, am saved by his grace. It took me a long time to get to a point where I felt that I had a place with God. I had a drug habit growing up. I drugged my parents to church every time the doors opened. And they're still in recovery. But I did a lot of things. I did things because I liked to sing. I did things because I wanted to be help to my pastor. But I don't really know if at that moment I knew what I was doing for God. And one of the things I was always afraid of is that I might make it to heaven. And there they say, oh, John, you did all these things for the church, and you did all these wondrous things. But do you know Jesus? Do you know who the Lord is? And then it changed the way I thought about everything. I said, not only do I want to do these things, but I want to have a relationship with this living and loving God who cares for us each and every step of our lives. Sometimes I had to learn how to sing through my pain. I recently went through a divorce. Things I don't talk about. Sometimes my son has more courage than I to say things, and I say, wow, I don't know. But at my darkest moment in the midst of this transition in my own life, I didn't know what to do. It seemed like everything I knew about my own life had fallen apart. Sometimes I'm sure I was more in love and involved with the church than I was with my family. And it's one of the things that I deal with today. And I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my days. But it was one moment when I was in church. When you have the keys to a church, you have to lock the church up. And unfortunately, I have the keys. So I had to wait for everybody to leave church. And sometimes they stay for 30, 40 minutes after Mass is over. Now, I know everybody doesn't have that problem. I went to one church, and Mass was out for about 5 minutes, and I walked out, and the parking lot was empty. I said, wow, how do they do that? But at that moment, it was just me and Jesus in the church. And I fell on my knees. And I said, Lord, I'm not perfect. I've screwed so many things up along the journey of this marriage. But what I'm asking you today is to strengthen my heart and help me to be the best father that I could be. And then my son, after he ate chicken, my church, we are the chicken capital of Detroit. We cook about 250 pounds of chicken wings every Sunday. So if you ever get hungry, you can make your way to I-75 and Mac. But he came back over, and he grabs me by the shoulder. And he says, Daddy, I don't know what's going on, but Jesus said everything is going to be all right. My son continues to amaze me at every step of my own journey. But in the midst of everything that we're going to, we have to remember what the scripture says, that the Lord will renew our strength, and our joy is in the Lord. Joy is a funny thing. Because in the midst of going through, we get bogged down with those issues that are challenging us. Whether it's that problem with that boss at our job or that teacher who just doesn't seem to give us a break. But in the midst of it, we have to choose joy. It's easy for us to become hardened of heart, but it's another thing to always look at things with the joy of the Lord. Not that things are perfect, but that we're always pushing, that we're always pressing to become more and more like Jesus every day. One of the things that I challenge myself to do every day, but especially this year of mercy, is with as much mercy that John has been shown by the Lord, how can I be the mercy of God for someone else? To whom much is given, much is required. We've all been given grace and mercy each and every day of our lives. But how is it that we can be the mercy of God for someone else? Oh yeah, it might be easy to want to chase that person who cut you off on the freeway. But how can we show mercy each and every day to those that we know and those that we do not know? Our task, our Christian journey task, is to look beyond our own situation and be God for someone else. Be that love of Christ. Be that mercy. Be that joy. Be that strength for someone else. I don't know your own situation, but I can promise you today that the Lord is turning things around in your life. We don't always know where our help is coming from. We don't even always know when the help is going to come. But for every situation the Lord puts us in, there's always an escape door for us to get through. He's turning things around. There's a song that says, it won't always be like this, that the Lord is perfecting everything that's concerning you, but sooner or later, It's turned in your favor. It's turning around for you. It's turning around for you. I just ask that you pray these words with me. Then we're going to have an opportunity to pray together. It won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning. Sooner or later, it turns in your favor. It's turning around for you. It won't always be like this. No matter what you're going through, the Lord will perfect that concerning me, 'cause sooner or later he'll turn in your favor. Yes, it will. It's turning around for you. If you can, let us stand. Let's stand all over this place. Sometimes we have to be like Jesus when he says, we need to be ourselves like the little children. Sometimes we've gotten so advanced in our own life that some things have no meaning for us anymore. But if you believe today that God can turn things around, that if you're going through a storm and your joy needs to be restored this evening, I just ask that you turn around. Just know that everything that you need in your life is already being worked out. He did not say that your road was going to be easy, and that every time you wanted something, that it was going to be granted to you at that moment. But God is always working on our own behalf. And every situation in our life that needs to be turned around, he's turning it around right now for us. The scripture says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, for he shall strengthen thine heart. If today you're willing to wait on the Lord for what you need, turn around with me. I know it's not easy to come to church and have to do what I call catharobics. But if you believe God can turn around your situation, just turn around in his presence. Just turn around. It might be a health challenge that you need turned around. It might be your children who are working your nerves that you need to turn around. Young people, it might be your parents that seem like they will never stop nagging you, but turn it around. Because sooner or later, it's all going to work in your favor. You don't know how the story is going to end, but it's already written in the book of life for each and every one of us. So come on, let's just turn it around for me. If you believe it, come on, turn around. Some of us need to turn around 40 times. Because there's so many things going on in our lives that we just need the Lord to show up and turn it around for us. It won't always be like this. Come on, say that. It won't always be like this. Come on, one more time if you believe it. It won't always that concerning thee. Now you can sing this one. 'Cause sooner or later, turn in my favor. Try that sooner, sooner or later. He'll turn in my favor. One more time, sooner or later. He'll turn in my favor. It's turning around for me. My red light just came on. That means if we were on Broadway, somebody would come by with a cane and snatch me. But there's a scripture, and I just want to leave you with this. There's a scripture that comes from the gospel, and it's just a beautiful line that starts off. I'm sorry, I'm in front of the mic. It says, on the evening of that same day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go across to the other side. And when they crossed over to the other side, they met the storm. And the wind started to blow, and they didn't know what was going to happen. And he stood and he said, peace, be still. Today we've come from the other side of I-75, Woodward, from Detroit to Royal Oak. But this day, what is it that you need the Lord to calm in your life? And I ask that you hold these things as we prepare ourselves to encounter God. Let us prepare our hearts as we sing.